You and I back together again, together for a Thursday, June 2nd edition, 2022 of Connecticut Today. I talked about a new national poll that shows a surprising number of Americans are in favor of arming teachers as a way to prevent mass shootings at schools. We welcome former Congressman and U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican, Francis Rooney, to the program. He chatted with us about the prospects of a revived Cold War between the U.S. and Russia. Teachers armed in schools, and we've been talking about this for the past week or so. We talk about it every time, unfortunately, there's a mass shooting incident. We had another one yesterday late in the day. Sad situation. This was not involving a school. This was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A murder-suicide here. Apparently a patient of a orthopedic back surgeon that was still in pain and was in such pain and may have had some mental issues that he shot himself after he killed three or four other people. So that's in the news. But there is a surprising survey I saw today that I'm going to ask for your opinion on today as a show starter here, because I know this is still being bandied about. And the reason I bring it up is because I found the numbers really interesting. And it has to do with a polling outfit asking people what they would think of arming school personnel. Now, at first blush on this, and even I said it, there would be some level of apprehension here, I would think. Because it's one thing for a police officer to be armed in a school or a bank or maybe a hospital waiting area. You know, when I worked at Yale New Haven Hospital in maintenance years ago, there were hospital cops, you know, around the front entrance, around the ER entrance, especially, you know, on a Friday or Saturday night when things would get a little hairy in downtown New Haven in certain sections. We know all about that. But the notion that those guns are carried by law enforcement, that's one thing. I think there's some sort of a natural apprehension that people have, even some staunch Second Amendment gun rights people, who may say, well, yeah, I mean, maybe we should have more guns in the place, but they got to be carried by qualified people. And I know there's always discussion about, well, you have retired police, retired military, and that's something to be talked about. But this new poll is interesting. And I asked today, first the question here, our Facebook question, facebook.com/WICC600, should certain teachers and or staff members be allowed to carry firearms in schools for maybe some added security? Should certain teachers and or staff members be allowed to carry firearms in school for maybe some layers of added security? So I ask this today, because there's an interesting poll out, and the poll is from the Trafalgar Group. Now, I've cited their polls before. They are considered a right-leaning pollster. However, they're also pretty highly rated in their accuracy. Their accuracy as far as the elections has been pretty good. It's considered one of the top pollsters. You don't hear about them much because you hear about, you know, the Harris and Gallup and Fox and CNN and Quinnipiac and all these other pollsters. Trafalgar's actually pretty good. Now, is any pollster perfect? No, right? We've known about that for decades since people started being polled way back when, I think by Lou Harris or the Gallup group, George Gallup, he might have been the first. Anyway, the Trafalgar Group has this poll out. I want to get your feelings on this. Let me give you some of the top lines of the poll here, because I find it interesting. And again, the overall question today to lead us off on a Thursday is, should certain teachers, not every teacher, and or staff member, not every staff member, should they be allowed to carry firearms in schools for added security? Now, again, as I've said previously, I have my reservations about this, only because I understand there are very, very, very well-qualified retired military, ex-military, retired law enforcement. You know, I get that. But, you know, you wonder if there is a Well, I hate to use the term, but if there's a margin of error here, which may be smaller if it's an actual police officer, a policeman or a policewoman who is constantly undergoing training for situational awareness and all that. But this is interesting. Follow along here. In the wake of the Uvalde Elementary School shooting, the topic of gun laws, once again, a major item in people's minds. A recent poll conducted by the Trafalgar Group surveyed 1,091 general election voters. So I guess they did a nationwide survey. 1,100 is a little low for a sample. I was always taught and read from my stat professors and stuff I read today. You need about 1,200, 1,300. So it's, you know, the sample is close. It's kind of not like, you know, it's not terribly small, but it impresses me as being a little small. A survey of just under 1,100 election voters found that 57.5% of voters, all right, so there is a majority there. It's up near 60%. 57.5% of voters feel that schools are somewhat or much more dangerous without teachers who carry a legal firearm and are properly trained to use it. Just 30%, just over a mere 30%, oppose this idea. So again, it's interesting. A survey of about 1,100 general election voters. Now, that's not likely voters, but I guess that is that sample is people who say they will vote or they are going to vote. 57.5% of voters think schools are somewhat or much more dangerous without teachers who carry a legal firearm and who are properly trained to use it. Now, here's the interesting split I found here. Before we go to the phones, we'll get there in a minute. John, hang on. You would think, you know, you look at the number and you say, well, Paul, that's all right-wing Republicans saying that, right? I mean, that, you know, to get it to almost 58% nationwide, well, that's all got to be Republicans. Well, it's there is a Republican majority, but it's the split between Republicans and Democrats is not that bad. It's not that big. 67.5% of Republicans are in favor of arming teachers. Okay, I thought that would be higher. So basically, it's two-thirds in this Trafalgar poll. Two-thirds of Republicans are in favor of arming teachers. But, you ready for this? 48% of Democrats are. Now, the caveat there is, where are these Democrats? I would assume that, but I shouldn't assume because you know what happens there. So let's say the possibility could be that if you're getting half Democrats who say yes, as opposed to the conventional thinking that it would be much lower, you know, maybe a lot of these Democrats are finding that say yes are in suburban areas, you know, where you have Democratic voters who are more centrist, who have guns, who are familiar with guns. So what do you think of this whole thing? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC is our telephone number. Recent poll by the Trafalgar Group finding 67.5% of voters, of Republican voters, are in favor of arming teachers. 48.2% of Democrats are in favor of arming teachers. That surprises me. That you basically have a 50-50 split of Democrats and the two-thirds of Republicans. I actually think that's a little low. But what do you think about this, especially if you are an active or retired teacher, school administrator, police officer, active or retired military? How would you feel, especially if you work in and around schools? How would you feel if you knew that, hey, you know, Joe, the maintenance guy, carries he has a gun on him now, or there's a gun in his office, or, you know, Mary, the secretary in fundraising. Yeah, did you know she's qualified to carry? She's one of the people here that's carrying a gun. I mean, what do you think? Well, of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues. It doesn't look like the madman Vladimir Putin there is going to back off anytime soon. So what is going to happen? And a lot of people are saying, well, oh, my God, is this going to be another Cold War? We can't go back to that. Well, maybe we can. Our next guest has written an essay in The Hill. It was in The Hill a few weeks back. If Putin wants a Cold War, the world should give him one. Our next guest represented Florida's 19th congressional district in the House from 2017 to 2021. Previous to that, 2005 to 2008, he served as the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican, to the Holy See, appointed by President George W. Bush, and subsequently wrote a book about diplomacy and the Vatican titled The Global Vatican. I've spoken to this gentleman before. It's good to have him back on. Ambassador Francis Rooney joins us. Mr. Ambassador, it's Paul here again at WICC. How are you?
Paul, thanks for having me back on. I'm doing great.
What made you pen that op-ed? I mean, I know what made you pen the op-ed, what Mr. Putin is doing, but is it time to, you know, should he be able to get as good as he gives? Is it time to get up in his face again, as many people say?
Well, you know, I've been involved in this foreign policy stuff for quite a while, and I'm quite familiar with the Truman Doctrine in 1948, which was penned by George Kennan, one of the architects of the containment policy, where we decided that if we didn't want to have a nuclear war with Russia, the best thing to do was to contain them and drive their economy inward and let them ultimately disintegrate economically before our eyes. And that's basically what happened in 40 years. And I think that Putin's asked for that type of containment, given his behavior vis-a-vis the rest of the civilized world. We should give it to him. And I think that's starting to happen now with companies pulling out, Boeing and Airbus not selling any parts to Aeroflot and to the Russian military, and American consumer companies pulling out. And we'll see what these Russians like, if they like to go back to 1990 when they didn't have any American products or Western European products, and they didn't have any heat, and they didn't have any luxury goods. And then we'll see what these oligarchs are like when they don't have any airplanes and yachts.
Yeah, and you mentioned 1990. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, you know, everybody thinks history began with the internet, you know, but yeah, there, right. You know, there was, Mr. Ambassador, some history before that. And yeah, people don't remember, at least a lot of people in a certain generation, they don't remember the years that Russia was a cold, guarded, very closed society that Mr. Reagan tried years ago to at least pry open a little bit.
Well, we beat them economically. It finally came to the point that they couldn't provide for their people. There was more and more unrest. And with the internet and technology, people in Russia can know what everybody else has got. And the worst for them now is they've been to the mountaintop. They have had Western civilization at their doorstep. And now if it's taken away, think of how that's going to feel.
We'll continue with more from former U.S. Congressman, former ambassador to the Vatican, Francis Rooney. He has an op-ed that was in The Hill a few weeks ago. If Putin wants a Cold War, the world should give him one. Traffic and weather together. We'll be back with more after this on WICC. If Putin wants a Cold War, the world should give him one. That the opinion of former congressman and former ambassador to the Vatican, Francis Rooney, who continues with us for a few more minutes. He also has a book out, The Global Vatican. He wrote a book about diplomacy and the Holy See a few years ago, so pick that up. Should be a good read. Mr. Ambassador, let me ask you this. What does your or what do your foreign policy diplomatic corps senses tell you, and maybe some of your sources that you could talk about what's going on internally with Vladimir Putin in Russia? Do you think he's sick? Are you buying these stories of their people are starting to revolt against him, or is this just all guessing?
Well, I think there have been some minor instances of public demonstrations and things like that. I don't think we really know what's going on in the minds of the leading colonels and generals and even some oligarchs who are probably getting pretty desperate at this point. They're going to have to get pretty desperate to take the kind of measures that they might be able to take to have Putin stand down. I don't know if they're there yet or not. We're just now getting maximum pressure put on the oligarchs. I saw that the administration stepping up the seizing and stopping and of their ships and their airplanes and all that, and the lack of spare parts for Aeroflot and all that is just starting to set in. So it's going to take some time. Meanwhile, the question is, how long can the Ukraine keep the pressure on Russia and keep this thing going? That's kind of the $64,000 question.
Sure. And you know, when you mention oligarchs, and you obviously know the caliber of people we're talking about, the economic caliber, the social standing, I do, you know, and other people do in the media. But explain the theory here of an oligarch. People may say, well, it's just a bunch of rich Russians. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it, into how they're intertwined with Putin and his power?
Absolutely. This is a wholesale criminal enterprise that began with the fall of the CIS and with Putin got in power. He basically gave half of the Russian economy to himself and his cronies. They basically stole half of Russia's economy. And to me, that's a pretty major problem that we need to put enough pressure on them so that their people can realize what happened to them.
Is Vladimir Putin the kind of guy that will he fight to the end? In other words, I've read all these things where he is so insular and so surrounded that he has enough people there and he can just be stone-willed and a million people can be screaming at him, but he's likely not going to end this in any way that would be embarrassing. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's probably true. I think that given the nature of what he's done so far, the willingness to cross all bounds, the isolation and the close coterie of people that he listens to, it's quite possible that he will not relent unless he's taken out.
How much of this, Mr. Ambassador, depends on what Europe does? Because we've seen, in the past few days, you've probably seen the same stories where, you know, there are threats of gas lines and gas flows being shut off. And now you have the specter of Sweden and Finland wanting to get into NATO, Europe's reliance on Russian energy. I mean, this could get pretty dicey, couldn't it? I mean, it is now, but it could get even worse.
Well, the energy question is a real problem, okay? I mean, for 20 years, we have been trying to push Germany to get away from Russia, to develop liquefied natural gas and nuclear and alternatives to dependence on Russian petroleum and gas. And Schroeder, who was the president of Russia in the first 4 or 5 years of Bush's term, was in the hands of the Russians and wouldn't hear of it. And despite the President Bush's efforts, it didn't work out. And then the day after he ceases to be president of Germany, he goes on the board of Russia's largest oil and gas company. The guy's totally corrupt. And that's why he's fought independence for Germany. And it's going to be hard for Germany to do what they should do and want to do, given their dependence on Russian energy.
It is amazing, Mr. Ambassador, that, you know, we thought maybe dead is too much of a term, but we thought with the breakup of the old Soviet Union, did we not? Maybe we were naive. Did we think this was all done? I mean, yeah, Russia had nukes, but hey, we're all friends now, and we broke this up, and there's glasnost, and there's perestroika. Were we wrong on that?
Well, you know, Americans are by nature good, ethical proponents or inheritors of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And we always think that if we do the right thing, other people are going to want to be like us. And it just doesn't always work out that way. And it certainly doesn't work out that way with people in Asia and Eastern Europe and even, I guess, the Russians, that they have some different views. And we can't make them bend to our will. And so we go in there with all of our Western materialism and things, and I think the people like it. We're going to find out how much they like it by how long they put up with Putin. But at the end of the day, they may not behave like we want them to. They certainly don't in Asia.
The essay published a few weeks ago in The Hill, If Putin Wants a Cold War, the World Should Give Him One. He's also written a book, The Global Vatican. Former U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See and former Florida Congressman, Ambassador Francis Rooney. Ambassador, thank you. We appreciate him. We'll talk down the road. Thank you.
Paul, thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you. There you go. Former U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, to the Vatican, Ambassador Francis Rooney, during the George W. Bush years. You remember him, right? And a former Florida congressman as well, saying, listen, if Putin's going to give, then he's got to get. You know, got to poke him back here, and maybe we go back to the old Cold War, because this thing, folks, is not ending.